Merry Christmas from the staff of The Kim Monson Show and KLZ Radio. As you go through your day today, take a moment to reflect on the significance of this day and his coming. Now, here's Kim Monson.
Welcome to The Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson and wishing each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas on this Christmas Day. We've got a really great show planned for you today. Chris Stefanik, who is the founder of Real Life Catholic, will be talking about the hope of Christmas. And I think it's going to be just a really, really great conversation. And I want to say thank you to the team and Merry Christmas to you, to Steve, Patty, Zach, Charlie, and Keith. I so appreciate you and wish each and every one of you and your families a very Merry Christmas.
It's not fair to the rest of the team that I'm only the one, the only one who has a mic and can respond to that, but I know I could speak for them and say Merry Christmas back to you, Kim.
Well, thank you. And to each of you listeners, Merry Christmas to you. You each are treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose each day, strive for excellence and take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. And so wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas as well. Be sure and check out my website. It is kimmonson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Podcasts of the shows are there and all kinds of great information. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com. And be sure and go to the website and sign up for our weekly newsletters. We'll keep you apprised of all of the important information, things that are coming up. And just a quick note, January 8th is the Stand for Colorado rally down at the Capitol. We'd love to have you join us. Check out that website, standforcolorado.com. So, Steve, today, Christmas Day, it seems only appropriate that we go to the Bible for our quote for the day. And our inspiration, and it is, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Wow, those are amazing words.
Yes, they are. Very familiar words, you know, throughout the course of my life. And, with your Lutheran background, in our church in Parker, we've been putting an emphasis on the Advent, which is obviously, I don't think, is more of the norm for, the Lutheran church.
Right.
But in the evangelical New Testament church, our new pastor's kind of, let's kind of start over here on the foundations of things. And in terms of really to drive out the true significance of Christmas and the days, months, years leading up to it, we did several weeks of study on the Advent. So, yes, we're really up on these types of scriptures, and they are, like you just said, very familiar.
Well, and you're probably up on that more than I am. Advent, I've always thought, is really the preparation for Christ's birth, and in the Lutheran traditions, it's the four Sundays preceding Christmas. And so I always look at that as preparation for Christmas. And I've always thought that Christmas is on Christmas Day. I'm one of those people that I'm still actually doing things after Christmas on the 12 days of Christmas, which is the Epiphany. But Advent is really the preparation for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. At least that's my understanding. Is that what you found out?
Exactly. And he timed it in his sermon series on these 4 weeks leading up to this week. That's exactly the way it went down.
Okay. Hey, let's. Do you have any favorite traditions? Are there any traditions that you guys do on Christmas?
Well, you had asked me that a couple days ago, and I've been thinking about it and thinking, well, actually, probably nothing unique. It's just more of the standard things that people do in terms of the way that we gather, and just to make sure that it's a family-centered day.
Well, and so I was thinking about our traditions. One of the things that we like to do on Christmas Eve, and really my neighbor kind of started this because this is something he loves to do, and that is luminarias, you know, the candles in the paper bags with the sack, with the sand. And it actually does require some work to put them all together. But when we come home from church on Christmas Eve, it is absolutely beautiful. And I teasingly say to him, you know what, we may have an airplane that might be landing on our street, because he loves to put those luminaries out, Steve.
Yes, the FAA might have some input for you and your neighbor. Hmm.
We may think it's Santa coming in, and it may be an airplane. But I had another question for you, and that is favorite food. Is there any food that you always think about at Christmas time?
Well, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we cover probably cover all the bases, maybe actually some of them twice. I don't know that, again, it's like, what's this going to be the motto of our family, is that we're the standardized family.
Standardized family. Well, I'll tell you one of the things that I love to do, and that is, you know, Christmas cutout cookies are a lot of work.
Yes.
But my grandmother, my great-grandmother, at least this is the family story, that she immigrated from Germany and that she actually worked for royalty in Germany. But when she came to America, she worked, quote unquote, you could kind of say as an indentured servant for a family in Omaha. And to pay off her the fare for her ship, or her ship's fare, to get over to America. And then she married my great-grandfather, who whisked her off to the plains of western Kansas, where they raised their family in a two-room sod house. But she has these spice cookies that are, they have all kinds of things in them. And I never give the recipe. People have wanted the recipe, and you have to be in the family or you have to marry into the family to get it. So I can't give you the recipe, Steve.
Okay. Hey, back up a second. I've heard that story before about your grandparent, great-grandparents?
Uh-huh.
What country did she originate in?
Germany.
Germany. Okay, well, I was thinking, when you always make that reference to the plains of Kansas, there must have been an eye-opener there.
Oh, my gosh. You know, the wind blows like you wouldn't believe to be out there in a two-room sod house with a bunch of little kids. I mean, you have to go out and find... there wasn't a lot of trees, so, you know, many times they burned dung. I mean, it was, and I say a sod house is original affordable housing. It's a house made of dirt. But yet, you know what, my grandmother was always really grateful, just a really grateful person, and pretty joyous. So even though they were dirt poor, if you will, there was a lot of joy in that. But going on to these cookies, I have two. So my dad was one of six children, and his two older brothers served in World War II in the European theater. One was a bombardier, and the other was in the army. And my grandmother, my father remembers this, she would make these cookies, and then she would pop popcorn, and she would pack them in popcorn, and she would send them to them in Europe as they were serving during World War II. And so typically I will make those cookies and I'll give them to neighbors. I need to make enough to have for all the kids. And it's just, I don't know if they're as good as I think they are, but maybe it's just the memories that I'm eating, because my grandmother would make those. We had 24 grandkids on that side of the family, and we'd run through the house, grab a handful of cookies, and run on around. And so I don't know if it's memories that I love about that, Steve, or if it's that they just really taste that good.
Probably some of both. But you can't beat memories like that. Oh, my gosh.
You really can't. And so every time I make them at Christmas time, and it is a... it's just a really great memory. And we're going to go to break here in just a little bit. Before we do, though, Chris Stefanik, he is the founder of Real Life Catholic. And this whole idea of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, where God has loved us enough that he came down as a baby to overcome sin and death, is such an amazing story. And it's a story of God continuing to pursue man, to have relationship with him. And so this day, whether or not you're with many, many loved ones, or if you happen to be doing a solo Christmas, you know, just know that you are treasured and you are valued. And we are committed, as we move into 2020, to continue to talk about these big issues that are facing our country. There's actually been an assault on freedom of religion, and we need to make sure that we protect that.
Freedom of religion. Now, that's a great thought, because it makes me go back to the other end of this spectrum, this crowd out there who says they want to be part of the freedom from religion. And on this particular day, that just is a very empty thought. What hope do these people have on this day? They get up, you know, out of, obviously it's a day off, sure, but then they get up and what are they celebrating? What is their existence today?
Well, and that's why we're going to be talking with Chris Stefanik about the hope of Christmas. And there is great freedom in the Christian faith. There's great freedom in the story of Christmas, that Christ loves us enough that he says, you can accept me, you can reject me, and you want freedom from religion, you can have that. And in America, certainly that is the case. So there's amazing things with freedom, that there's freedom of something and there's freedom from something, but people have the choice. And then they live the life, they live the consequences with those choices. And, you know, that's kind of the thing about freedom. And so with that, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Chris Stefanik about the hope of Christmas. And really excited about this conversation. And we'll be right back on this very holy day.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Bud or Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
I'll be home for Christmas.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And Merry Christmas to you and yours, and what a blessed day it is. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Chris Stefanik. He is a friend of Jason McBride's. That's how we... got introduced, and he is with the Real Life Catholic. Chris Stefanik, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. What a joy to be with you on this joyous day.
Christmas Day, what a special day. And, you know, there's a lot that goes around Christmas in our society, but what we want to talk about today is the hope of Christmas. And Chris Stefanik, you speak all over the world regarding the gospel. And so let's just talk about the hope of Christmas. Where would you like to start?
Well, let's start at the beginning, right?
What a good place.
Just fundamental belief in the existence of God is really necessary for hope, right?
It is.
Hope is this worldview that life has a purpose, that we're living not as a, you know, just by chance and experiencing the winds of fate, but we're going somewhere, that the pages of life are part of a bigger story. Hope comes from this worldview that says that life ends well. So hope really is rooted in the belief in God. And I suppose we could talk for an hour about rational proofs for the existence of God, but I just want to cut to the chase here and say, you need God to have life with purpose. And it's a great thing to focus on Christmas Day. I was driving down 25 freeway recently, and I saw a big billboard that said, "The meaning of life is to make up your own meaning." And, you know, as noble as that sentiment might be, I think the human spirit needs more than make-believe to have real purpose, to have real hope.
We have
to know that the meaning of life isn't something we've just made up for ourselves. You know, because if you make it up, you know it's just make-believe. And this is what faith answers. It answers that longing for meaning that we didn't just make up, but a meaning that's real.
Well, and foundational. You know, I think that's one of the things that is tough for many of our kids today is as we've moved away to, well, as you mentioned, what you just said, kind of making up your meaning, making up your reality, that they're, you know, you have your truth, I have my truth. There's no foundation. And I think we're seeing this play out in society where people may be floundering. They're like, what is this all about? I think deep down we know that we're here for a purpose. But yet I think that society in many ways is saying that you make up your own reality. And people are like, how do I do that?
Yeah. And is what I come up with going to be good? And at the end of the day, even if what I came up with sounds good. Is it real?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you can see this playing out everywhere. I mean, you see a growing misery among young people. iGen, or Generation Z, is the least religious generation in our history. And all studies are pointing to the fact that they're also the most miserable generation in history. There's a growing anxiety. There's a growing depression. And, of course, there's biological or neurological clinical depression. That's a different story than what I'm talking about here. Mm-hmm. There's a growing sense of isolation. And I think that's all tied to that growing loss of faith in society. And we're getting really good at distracting ourselves, because when you don't have a foundational worldview that tells you that life is inherently purposeful, meaningful, and good, well, what are you left with? You have to distract yourself, because that's too dang depressing to sit down in silence for a minute and to look at that fact that underneath it all is nothing at all. I was at MIT. No, go ahead, sorry.
Well, Chris, I'm just saying that in a way I can't blame them, because it is our responsibility to pass on our stories from generation to generation. And we have people that are passing on this anxiety, you know, this idea that the world is going to end in 12 years, and passing on this anxiety. In some ways, it is the responsibility of the older generations on what is happening to these young folks.
It is. And I think we have on the faith side, a lot of people are caught up on being constantly on the defense, always answering the next accusation against religion, or responding to this or that issue of the day. We need to become on the offense again, not in a rude or obnoxious mm-hmm. way, but just boldly stating again that, hey, you know, what's religion about at the end of the day? What's faith about? We have something incredible to offer the world. I mean, what we talk about in Christmas Day is the most incredible, mind-blowing good news that mankind has ever received. You know, to step into that emptiness where people are longing for meaning, right? This valley of the shadow of death that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So show me there's something more to life. You know, when times get hard in my life, please tell me there's something more. We have that something more. And we celebrate that something more on Christmas Day. Not just the opening of gifts, but the fact that there's a God, and this is the best news ever, because that God is love. You know, the Romans and Greeks believed in lots of gods. That wasn't good news at all, because they were all jerks.
But, you know,
they were scary.
But you know, the story, I think the story, at least for me, Chris, regarding Christmas, is that, you know, as you read the Bible, that there is this, and I'm just going to make a note here, before the end of the year, this is an accomplishment for me. I will have completed reading the complete Bible. Now, that doesn't mean,
awesome.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that I got everything. Like, for example, there was times in Leviticus where I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I need to get the tires rotated on the car and a variety of things. You know, I was having a few focus challenges here and there, but I'm going to start over. But the Bible is a big story. It is a story, I think, of God's pursuing man to have a relationship with man. And that relationship gives men purpose. You know, I think it plays out in what we've seen in the American founding, where there were, you know, where our American soldiers put their lives on the line to stand against tyranny and pass on liberty. Or you go to the Civil War, to Gettysburg, or the battles of World War II, where we stood against tyranny and evil because there was this belief that there is something bigger than ourselves. And that is, I think, God pursuing us, wanting a relationship with us. And I jokingly say that the birth of Christ, Christmas Eve, is God continues to say, now don't make me come down there. Don't make me come down there. And finally he says, okay, I'm coming down there. And I think that that's the hope of Christmas, that he continues to pursue us because he wants a relationship with us.
Isn't that absolutely mind-blowing and beautiful? I mean, that's the purpose that the Bible reveals that life has. The word Bible, it comes from the Greek ta biblia, which means the books. It's like a little library. There's a lot of books in the Bible, or mostly booklets. You know, we've written many, many libraries full of long tomes and books about the Bible, but God tends to write in short booklets, right?
Uh-huh.
He's to the point. And, but yeah, the lens to understand all those through, which shows us the meaning of the Bible, but also shows us the meaning of life, that meaning that we didn't just make up for ourselves, that meaning that shows us that it's that life is inherently good is that it's a love story. That's what the Bible is at the end of the day. If you take that context of a love story out of the Bible, it's like taking the context of the love story out of a marriage. And then what are you left with? You're left with a to-do list is what you're left with.
Mm-hmm.
You're left with a burden. You're left with rules you have to follow. You're left with dates you have to remember to keep for your, you know, Valentine's Day or anniversary. You give up all your closet space. You have to report to someone the rest of your life about where you are. No, thank you. It becomes the worst idea ever, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
If you put the love story back, well, suddenly marriage becomes something very beautiful despite all the sacrifices or because of the sacrifices that are taken up into that greater story of love. And that's Christian faith. And I think that the world's forgotten that. I think a lot of Christians forget that as we get caught up in the latest issue of the day or this doctrine or that. And all these things are important to engage in, and the doctrines are important to teach. But outside the context of the love story, they don't make sense to people. And I think that's why in the world today, you go up to the average university student and ask, you know, what are the top 10 places you're going to look for enlightenment? This faith won't make the top 10 list because we've forgotten. We've forgotten what all this is about. And as a result, have forgotten what life's about. This faith and this life is a love story. And that might sound kind of cheesy, but that's exactly what it is. That these hearts of ours look for something more than the world can give us to satisfy us. They're looking for a meaning that doesn't just come from our accomplishments or an earthly relationship. They're looking for a source of fulfillment, a love that no human can satisfy, and that God answers that hope. Jesus is love's answer to our hope. On Christmas Day, we see that answer breaking into our world, breaking into our darkness. And the beauty is, like you said, this story of our lives, of the universe, is not just that mankind is looking for God, but that God answers that search by looking for us. It's the best news ever.
You know, and speaking of that, makes me think about, I was reading something just recently about Christmas Eve and the nativity scene. In fact, maybe it's what our pastor was talking about. And that is you have the shepherds, and you have the wise men. The wise men are the learned people. They're the wealthy, and they come to pay homage to the baby Jesus. But yet the shepherds, you know, were the working people out there, and they too were there. And so, it's an amazing story that all of these people come together. That Christ came. Basically, I think the message is for everyone.
I love that the angels announced this to the shepherds. I lead a pilgrimage to the Holy Land every year, and to be in the caves in Bethlehem and reflect on this with my pilgrims last time, it blew my mind. The shepherds were, I mean, these are the lowest of the low in society. You know, no one cared about the shepherds. They smelled like sheep. They were just, you know, they didn't have important jobs. But here we are, we're the first people that this good news is announced to. Is the shepherds. And what's that saying to us? It says that this good news, this meaning of life, this God looking for mankind, it's for all of us. It's for all of us. And you know what's beautiful? Another insight about those shepherds. They actually, in Bethlehem, in the fields of Bethlehem, was where they would shepherd sheep that were used for temple sacrifice in Jerusalem.
Okay.
So these men are raising the lambs that would be sacrificed. And Jesus is called the Lamb of God, who would give himself up, be sacrificed for our sins. You know, so they're going about their daily lives thinking, I don't have a very significant job. How do I matter much in the plan of God? But symbolically, here they are in the place where the Lamb of God will be born. The first ones that he's announced to is these shepherds. They're part of this bigger story, this big picture. They found themselves instantly caught up in this love story of God that had begun before time. And so are all of us. You know, this is something to be in awe of on Christmas Day, that all of us in our own particular lives are caught up into this bigger story, this love story. Man, it just blows my mind.
Okay.
Joy of the world.
It is an amazing story. Yeah, let's go to break. When we come back, and I think that you're kind of setting this up, but many times the holidays can be difficult for people. They may be alone. They may look over and the neighbor, all the kids are there, and they may be alone, or they may have lost somebody. And sometimes the holidays can be a time where it's difficult. And so I'd like you to address that, Chris Stefanik, because it certainly is addressed in the Christmas story. But let's talk a little bit about that when we come back from break. So we'll be right back. Jason McBride, you are how I met Chris Stefanik. And he's a friend of yours, isn't he?
Chris is a great guy. And, you know, it's funny, our kids have kind of grown up together. So we've both seen our children go from just little buggers to the giant, smelly teenagers that they are now. But he's still got a couple of little ones left. So he's very fortunate. He's a bit younger than me. But Chris is just one of the best guys and best people I think I've met in my life. I mean, just he's a good man. I love the way that he preaches the gospel, for lack of a better way to put it. It's so unintrusive. It's not off-putting. You know, sometimes it can feel that way. And he just speaks from the heart. And you know, listening to what he has to say, it's I guess the word to me would be gripping. You just want to hear what he has to say. He makes great points. He's not afraid to be a little bit audacious sometimes and passionate and make his point about what he likes and also what he doesn't like. And I admire that about Chris an awful lot.
Well, I really appreciate the connection. And, you know, you just said something very interesting. And that is, you know, we're talking about the hope for Christmas. And in the show, you know, I'm looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And somebody said something to me one time, Jason, that our Lord loves us enough that he gives us the freedom to reject him. So he doesn't force himself on us. He came as a baby on Christmas Eve. We're celebrating Christmas today. And I think that that's really powerful. Now, there are those that use all kinds of things to try to force people to do things. But the real gospel, it is freedom. It is not force.
Well, and that is what's great about that, and what's great about America. You're free to believe and you're free not to believe. And I think that really it's the extremists either way that kind of make it tough. I mean, if you don't, that's fine, but don't be angry about it. Mm-hmm. For people that do, same way for those, the believers too. You know, sometimes there could be some judgmentalism there. You know, we mm-hmm. both know. And
human nature.
I think it is. But, you know, coming back to Chris, that's where he's just, one of the most unique individuals I've ever seen. And then also, he looks like Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers quarterback. I don't know if anybody told him that one before, but he does.
Well, you'll have to ask him.
So he's got a future once he retires, you know, being a body double or signing autographs or that type of thing.
Oh, there you have it. So, well, Jason, Merry Christmas to you. And I thank you so much for the connection with Chris Stefanik.
Yes, no problem. Merry Christmas to you and Merry Christmas to all your listeners. And thanks for having me, Kim. It's always an honor.
Well, and I really appreciate our partnership. So, Jason McBride, enjoy your family, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Once again, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and Merry, Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. Thrilled to have on the line with me Chris Stefanik. He is, you're the founder of Real Life Catholic, aren't you, Chris?
Yes, I am, yes.
Okay, and you know what? Explain to our listeners what you do exactly.
Well, we have this love story that we're talking about that many people in the church and in the world seem to have forgotten, that Christianity that we see, what we see in the Bible, what we encounter at church, that this isn't just, you know, our own ideas or our own search for meaning, but this is revealed by God to be the best news ever, and it's a love story. And when we see the faith in the context of that love story, not only does faith make sense, but life makes sense. Even the difficult times in life start to take on a new shape, a new purpose for us, because God walks through those times with us. So the purpose of Real Life Catholic is just to remind the world of that, you know, to preach the gospel, to bring people back to that best news ever, that news that frankly we were made for, that the human heart and mind was made for. So yeah, it's the best job ever to be able to focus on that all the time.
And you travel the world, and help people or speak with people all over the world. And then you had mentioned in the last segment this pilgrimage that you do each year to the Holy Land. That is on my bucket list. I would love to do that sometime.
I would love you to come with us, Kim. Yeah, there's nothing like getting back to the places where Jesus walked. And really, I mean, one thing that strikes me about the Holy Land, this is one of the most war-torn places in the world. I don't think there's any city that's been torn down to its foundation and rebuilt more times than Jerusalem. And isn't it ironic, this is a good thing to think about around Christmas, that God broke into a world in that place.
It is fascinating.
Sometimes it feels like our own lives have been torn down and built up again.
Well, then speaking of that, because you know, holidays can be such a wonderful time, but there can be a lot of emotion. There can actually be hurt. Yeah. There can be loneliness. There can actually be loneliness even when people are with a lot of people. But yet there can be the loneliness that regrets about the past, or maybe a loved one has been lost. How do you address that when somebody is lonely at the holidays?
Human suffering is real, right? Christian faith never attempts to just brush that aside or pretend it doesn't exist. And with all due respect to people who are of Eastern religions or Buddhism, those things tend to have a philosophical, prayerful approach that wants to just ignore the suffering aspect of life, or rather to just let go of the ego, so that that suffering is kind of a, you know, it doesn't really exist. Christianity dives right into suffering because we have a God who entered our suffering. I mean, Jesus was not born as a king. He didn't come in a palace.
Not at all.
I mean, we have a God who was born in poverty, in a dangerous area, at a horribly dangerous time in human history for Israel, born in a place that people would think was an outpost of the Roman Empire, insignificant, war-torn, and on top of that, was born in a manger. I mean, this looks cute in our Christmas scenes.
But think about it.
For a mother giving birth, yeah, this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
This is a nightmare, right? And some of us approach Christmas and think, man, what I'm going through is a nightmare. And, you know, they could feel abandoned by God in the midst of that nightmare. And I think one of the leading causes of atheism that I've encountered isn't just people coming to logical conclusions that there's no God, right? Because, gosh, you can make arguments on both sides of that. But I think more often than not, it's conclusions that were led by their gut. They're angry. They're angry because something bad happened to them, maybe something bad around Christmas time. And they're not so much atheists as they are anti-theists, convinced that if there's a God, he doesn't care. But when you look at the Christmas message and when you look at the cross, I mean, we don't see a God. There's no way that Christianity promises a God who says you're not going to suffer when you follow me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if anything, he promises us we're going to suffer in life. Suffering is a very real, very human part of existence that he didn't come to take away. He didn't suffer so we wouldn't have to. He suffered so we'd know how to. He suffered so we'd know that he's with us in that. You know, when we're at our low moments of life, we want to say, God, where are you? But we have a God who you can't look at and say, you don't know what this is like. Rather, we have a God who hung on a cross at the end of his life and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So we'd have someone to say those words with when we want to say, where the heck are you right now? He's right there. He's in it. He's in it with us.
That is so interesting that you would say that. First thing, I wanted to mention just a little bit about Mary. The idea that she was close to delivery and that she then has to ride on a donkey a number of miles to get to Bethlehem because there's this census. I mean, first of all, I could kind of see Mary going to God and to Joseph, really, right now, this, we have to do this right now. But she,
right?
Yeah. So, but she, you know, she was obedient, and she did what she was supposed to do. But, you know, and you and I had talked about, we were the hope of Christmas, and you just kind of mentioned Easter, and so with that, as we're talking about loneliness, is that as I look at the cross. First of all, Christ looks down at Mary, and she's got to be looking at him going, what on earth is going on? My son, who has done no wrong, is being crucified. And you've got to think, I've got to think God's heart broke when he saw her hurt, because, I mean, that had to be one of the most difficult things. That's the most difficult thing if a parent ever loses a child. And to my first point is, ultimately, you know, with the resurrection, God was walking through that. She maybe didn't know at that time, though, Chris, or maybe she did, but that had no. Regardless, that had to be so difficult.
Right.
But he was alone at the cross. He didn't have his clothes. He didn't have his friends. He was hungry. They made fun of him. So all the things that can happen to us that make us lonely. Happen to him so he can walk through that with us, which brings us back to the hope of Christmas.
That's right. And knowing these things doesn't take away the pain. Like you said, let's say Mary was at the foot of the cross, and let's say she knew, or let's say she didn't know. To some degree, that's irrelevant, whether or not she knew exactly how this is going to pan out. But she did know that God loves her, and he was in charge, and he was with her. It doesn't take away the pain, but it transforms the pain. And here's what Jesus does.
Okay.
People were waiting for this conquering king to topple Rome and to restore this political power of Israel. They were waiting for a Messiah to be a secular Messiah. Instead, we had a conquering king who entered our lives in a humble and ordinary way, who was born our birth, who walked our streets, who worked, who lived most of his life unnoticed, quiet, humble, who died a horrible death, but rose from the dead. See, he entered our lives, but God is bigger than us. So what really happened is our lives entered him. The story of our lives entered his life, and we're transformed. And again, it's not that the pages all change in our lives, right? He conquered in a different way. He conquered these things from within. There's a beautiful saying that Jesus was born behind enemy lines, right? He was born way into the kingdom of death. And he lived through all these things that we live through in our everyday lives, even suffering our death with us. And that's how we conquered it, that all these things are now taken up into the love story, that all these things are transformed by the hope that we have of heaven. All these things are transformed by the new purpose that God reveals our lives have, because he is love, and he's not this angry, lightning bolt-wielding jerk like Zeus and all the gods that people had believed in before.
Mm-hmm.
All these things are transformed. So the pages of life stay the same. They look the same on the outside, but he changes it by giving it a new story. I mean, he puts a new cover on the pages of life. You know, so we still experience these things, but this worldview changes how we experience these things.
Okay.
And in some ways, it makes absolutely everything different. My dad, last Christmas, shortly before last Christmas, we almost lost him to a heart attack. And no matter how old you become, your dad's always an image of strength in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't change. To see my dad collapsing in front of me, rushing to the hospital, just praying, Lord, don't let him die in the way of the hospital right now. got him into the hospital. And you know, when you want to have the doctor come back in after the scans and say, here's a pill, everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of us will eventually have the conversation with the doctor where he comes in and he looks very grim after the scans. Because no one gets out alive.
All right.
There's an unfortunate reason. So thankfully my dad lived through this, but almost didn't. But the doctor looked real grim. He's like, there's nothing we could do for your dad right now. So we were getting ready for the end, and he was on this hospital bed, and he asked to hold my rosary, and he holds it against his chest. And then he looks at me with a grin, and he says, I'm posing for my casket right now. And then he said, right? And then he said, he said, Chris, I'm not worried about anything right now. I'm not worried about a thing.
Oh.
And the pain of that moment was real. You know, the faith didn't take away the pain. My mom and him are about to celebrate the 50th anniversary because by the grace of God, he lived through this. Her pain was real. But even in that pain, she told me when we were watching him sleep and getting ready for him to pass, she said, Chris, God's given me an amazing life, and I have no right to complain about anything. I'm grateful right now. So to see the faith of my mom and dad in that darkness, sure, the page was the same. Everybody has to die. Everybody has to experience that page. But the page is transformed because his worldview was not that, hey, I'm a cosmic accident about to go into nothingness. And his worldview was not that, hey, I have a meaning of life I've made up for myself. No, in that moment on his hospital bed, his fundamental worldview was God created me with a purpose, destined me for eternal glory, loves me so much that he died for me to bring me into this purpose and help me fulfill that glory, to open the gates of heaven for me. So somehow, while everything looks the same, nothing's the same when you believe what Christmas Day reveals to us about who God is, what our destiny is, who we are. Everything changes.
Well, don't you remember, it used to be when people talked about death, they talked about, I'm going to meet my maker. And, you know, there's actually a lot of hope in meet my maker. We're going to go to break in just a minute, though, but what happened with your father? You said you're ready for him to pass on. What happened?
So he was going back home, going to be on oxygen, have congestive heart failure. We found the most amazing high-risk stent doctor in New York City, and he performed some very risky surgeries on my dad and opened him right up. So I thank God for that and for that guy and for my dad celebrating Christmas with us this year.
Oh my gosh, that is really, really awesome. So this is Kim Munson. I am so honored to be talking with Chris Stefanik on this very, very holy day, Christmas Day. He is the founder of Real Life Catholic, and we're talking about the hope of Christmas. So we're going to go to break. We'll have our final segment. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's spelled MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And I'm so thrilled to have on the line with me Chris Stefanik. He was introduced to me by Jason McBride, who is Jason and his team over at Presidential Wealth Management. They're good partners of the show and greatly appreciate that. And just thrilled to be having this conversation with Chris Stefanik, founder of the Real Life Catholic. Chris, this is our final segment. These are rich conversations, and you wanted to go back to talk about how God is love. So expound upon that, please.
Yeah. One of my dear friends, he was an atheist, and he had his own reasons for it. He was a philosophical guy, and just couldn't seem to buy into this idea of faith. And he eventually became a Catholic Christian. I got to be his godfather. But after many late nights talking to him about the faith, he said, Chris, man, stop right there. He's like, I just don't know. I don't know if there's a God. Frankly, there's no scientific proof that there isn't a God or that there is, you can't scientifically verify certain things you're claiming here. But he said, but if there is a God, he's a Christian.
Okay, interesting.
Me, you He said, because I can't imagine him being anything less than the love that you say he is. And I think that's a beautiful way to see God. And frankly, a beautiful summary of Christianity, of Christian faith, and of Christmas Day. That this is a belief that all stems from the worldview that says life is good because God is good. And why is God good? Because he's love. And that reveals what life's about. You know, that we are not a cosmic accident. We are more than a lump of cells that's achieved self-awareness. We're destined for more than dust. The real story of our lives, and this story, this framework for everyday life, the story that helps you make the sense of every page that you're on, is that you're created with a purpose because there's a God. That purpose is good because God is a love. That when we wandered from our created purpose into sin, love showed us just how far he would go out of love for us. He didn't come on the clouds. He didn't come in a castle. He was born in a manger. He entered our lives. He walked our streets. He died our deaths. And love wins because he rose from the dead. And he offers us eternal life. This way of seeing life changes everything. And while the pages of our lives might look the same on the outside, the way we experience, the way we process every page, even difficult ones, even times of sadness or loneliness or dealing with depression, somehow it's all transformed because God is love. It's for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's John 3:16. I mean, that's what this Christmas Day is about. That's what life's about. That's what Christianity is about. And the more we remember that, the more we enter into, joy to the world, to what God came to give us. Not just a passing happiness, with things that come and go depending on circumstances, but a joy that people can't give you or take away, peace that doesn't depend on circumstances, a hope that not even standing at death's door can disrupt.
Mm-hmm. Knowing
this is what that worldview gives us.
Yeah, we're part of something bigger than ourselves. So, Chris, I want to tell you a story, if that's okay.
Please.
When I, in 2016, I had the great honor to go to Normandy with a group that took 4 D-Day veterans.
Wow.
It was an awesome experience. And one of the things that they did, and it's like going to Normandy with D-Day veterans is like going and being with Elvis, you know, in Memphis. I mean, it was just amazing.
Oh my gosh, right?
The people still revere them. And one of the things that we did is there's the Fields of Lafayette, and they, you know, the 101st and 82nd Airborne jumped in behind enemy lines very early, you know, middle of the night, basically, on D-Day. But so there's this big exhibition where there are military that are selected from all over the world that will jump, as well as there's reenactors. And so there's a big viewing stand.
Wow.
And one of our friends who is from the Netherlands and who traveled with us, and just a note on that, he's a young guy. His grandfather adopted graves of American soldiers to take care of them, and then his father, and now Ralph, has taken that over. And once again, it's because these people revere our soldiers. So anyway, he came over. He said, "Hey, Kim, there is a German D-Day veteran here, and he wants to tell his story to our guys." And it went like this. He said that I was on the beaches of Omaha on D-Day, and we saw, you know, the ships coming, you know, across the channel, and I knew that we were in for it. And, you know, so certainly there was the battle. And he said that I'd gotten down to the point where I only had a few, maybe even one shot left in my carbine. And I saw this young American GI come up on the beach. And I pulled my gun out. I pointed it at him. And I pulled the trigger. And I hit him in the gut. And the young American GI went down on his knees. He took his helmet off. And he fell down. He rolled over. So that he was looking up, and then he made the sign of the cross, and he died. And this German soldier said, "That changed my life." He said, "Up until that time, I thought that Hitler was God. That's what was taught to us. And here was this young American soldier, you know, across an ocean, away from the people that he loved, willing to put down his life to stand against tyranny and evil." And he said, "With that last act of making the cross, it changed my life. I deserted. I eventually was caught, was sent to the Siberian to Siberia and was put with patrols that I was probably not supposed to survive. But here I am 72 years later to tell you that that one act of that American GI changed my life. And I think that's what you're talking about, Chris.
Oh, that just gives me chills, Kim. I'm going to be thinking about that the rest of the day. You know, there's a love that has broken into our darkness that is greater than all this darkness. And yes, that darkness still exists for now, but it doesn't get the final word. Your sadness today, whatever you might be going through, death, suffering, all these wars of mankind, all these things will end because of a baby born in a manger. And in our daily lives every day, man, God help us to live out that love that you revealed in that manger, the love that you revealed on the cross, the love that GI showed on that beach by laying down his life for his friends. That's what this is about.
Well, and
that's what this is about.
And so I think kind of the final, we just have a few minutes left, is so Christ comes as a baby in a manger. I mean, just think about this. Mary delivers this baby in, you know, cows and sheep and, you know, animals around. And she does this because I think of her love, her obedience to our Lord. But then how should we live, Chris Stefanik? It now is, how should we live?
Yeah. You know, I know of a little girl who had Down syndrome. She died when she was real young. Her mom used to tell her, you're a princess. So everyone she made you tell them immediately, I am the daughter of a great king. Oh. And one day she looked up to her mom and looked at her for a long time. She said, Mommy, you have a crown, but you don't see it. Oh. And I think that we all have this dignity that God reveals that we have that we fail to see. The gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't just show us who God is or what the meaning of life is. It shows us who we are and what the meaning of our lives is. That we are beloved of God, that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we face in life, that we're not forgotten. We have a God who went before us through it all, that we have a crown and that we need to see it, and that we need to see it on the people's heads around us. So often we get so busy, so frantic in our lives. The world has gotten so quick, so fast, so cruel. You know, we need to slow down, and the way that we look at people around us, the way we treat them, both rich and poor. I mean, the fact that Jesus was born in a manger is a good reminder of how we should treat people who have little. We need to remember that we have a crown that we need to see. And frankly, this is the great contribution of the Judeo-Christian worldview to society. You know, this society that has the idea that we should care for the least among us, that didn't come from nowhere. It didn't come from the pagan cultures that Christian missionaries converted 500 or 1,000 years ago. That came from the worldview of the gospel of Jesus. As we wander from that fundamental worldview, I think we see a lot of the fruits of the tree, you know, disappearing. We're becoming a more cruel, fast-paced world. We have to come back to the heart of it all, not only for our own lives and for our own happiness, but because the world needs to remember the crown that God has placed on our head, because God has declared us worth coming for, worth seeking out, worth dying for. That's mind-blowing. It's not only mind-blowing about the love of God, but the dignity and worth of every human life, yours and mine included.
You know, and Chris, as we get near the end of the show, throughout the year, we look at issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And what is so interesting about this is Christ was born in Bethlehem, you know, in a manger, but he doesn't force himself on us. He actually gives us the freedom. I believe, like you do, that every person, as flawed as we are treasured, valued, have dignity with God. But yet we have the freedom to choose whether or not we reject him or whether we accept him. And that is pretty darn amazing, Chris Stefanik.
It is. And love isn't love unless it's freely given. And that's why God gave us free will. So we have, in addition to the radical possibility of holiness, which is love. Holiness is love. It's conforming ourselves to the love that is God himself. In addition to that radical possibility, there has to exist the radical possibility of evil, of darkness, of the rejection of God, of looking at the dark times in our lives and saying, I abandon hope. Suffering's fine, but despair is not. You know, so all those possibilities coexist with the possibility of choosing love, of choosing hope, of choosing joy, even in the midst of difficulties. And God's given us that freedom. It's amazing. And he's given us the call to be like him in the midst of this darkness. Because of that possibility of evil that he's left us with, we have the call to continue to be love, even when we're put on the cross, right? So that when we fight the culture wars, and they're important, man.
Yeah, they are.
We have to fight them differently as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our whole motive is different. Our whole motive is different. It's love for people who aren't our enemies, but people who are maybe going astray in their own different ways.
Okay. You know? Well, Chris Stefanik, we're out of time. Thank you so much. How can people get more information about you?
Check it all out on reallifecatholic.com. I got a program coming out. We're announcing it on New Year's, and it's coming out on Ash Wednesday to help people realign how they talk to themselves with the beauty of the gospel so that you can know that you're precious and beloved of God. So we have a lot of cool things coming out that I think can bless your listeners. It's all on reallifecatholic.com.
Okay, well, fantastic. Chris Stefanik, I wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a very prosperous 2020.
You too. What an honor talking to you. Thank you. Merry Christmas, Kim.
Well, thank you so much. And our quote for today is from the Bible. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. I wish you all a very blessed Merry Christmas. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.